And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Good afternoon. Welcome to a Craig Custance-less episode of the Athletic Hockey Show. This is the Americans. I think all told, this is an upgrade. We have a certain number of Michigan area men. Not Michigan men, because Craig's a Spartan weirdo. We have a certain amount of Michigan dudes we need to have on this podcast. So filling in is the Red Wings beat writer, my close personal friend, Max Boltman. What's up, dude?
Not a lot, John. I'm very glad to be here. I'm also just glad you didn't introduce me as your nephew. So, like, that's really a win already for me. I get the friend upgrade.
Yeah, as a two-time Sean Gentile intern extraordinaire, Max Boltman. We've known each other for, I think, 25 years at this point. I knew you when you were three or whatever it is. What's going on in your neck of the woods, man? What's up? Is there anything new about the Red Wings? Do we have anything we need to get out of the way there with them right now?
Nothing new. I mean, they start their prospect tournament this week, so that's what's dominating the airwaves right now. Thursday, things will kick off. I mean, that's a 5-team tournament, so there's a good chunk of players that'll be up there at Center Ice Arena. It's a very fun event, so I'm looking forward to that. I do always get a cold at it, so we'll see how that goes over. This would be a bad year to get a cold. But I'm stoked for that. It's kind of the unofficial start of hockey season to be up there, and they're going to have Lucas Raymond will be up there, and Jonathan Berger, one of their prospects in Sweden, and there'll be a whole host of teams up there, St. Louis, Dallas. It'll be a good time up there in Traverse City.
I blew it not going to it this year, man. It's been a while. It's still so bizarre getting back into the swing of things on the work end of things, on the personal end of things. Like, travel is just so bizarre. I got off a plane for the first time in, you know, 18 months or whatever it was a few days ago. It was just a completely foreign experience. Have you flown anywhere yet?
I did. So Allison and I, my girlfriend, we flew to San Diego a few weeks ago for a quick little vacation. Yeah. Tried to get in before the season started. And yeah, I mean, it's a very different flying experience. I had forgotten somehow what flying is like. And I don't think it got any easier in the last 2 years. So
I don't have TSA anymore. So it's like, I'm taking
the pre-check.
Oh, dude, I'm taking off my shoes.
I don't have it either.
Whatever. Our guest today is, I mean, we'll just come out. I should have come out and said this at the top, but whatever. It's Mike Sullivan. We got the U.S. Men's Olympic Team official coach, head coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Uh, my my neighbor, I think 20 miles or so to the north. Max, he was really good. He gave us more than I expected. That was really, really good stuff from Sullivan on the process, what it's been like so far, and you know, kind of the prep work he's already doing.
I think you could really tell too through the interview, like how much it means to him, how excited he is to be in that role, and you could kind of get a little bit of the enthusiasm. You'll see when we do the interview, mm-hmm. but you know, I think he's given quite a bit of thought to it. Maybe more thought than maybe you usually get a coach to admit, I guess, at this early stage about it.
I mean, that was like the challenge, right? Like just flat out asking them, like, all right, who's going to be
on the lines?
Who's going to be on the? Let's talk some lines, coach. Let's roll.
Who's in the flank on the power play?
I know, exactly.
We know, you know.
Is Jack Hughes going to be on this team? Yes or no? Right now, Mike, go. He was
really good, though. He was fun. And obviously, talking about some of the older guy, he talked about the generation that he considers to kind of be the standard bearers of USA Hockey. And I think, you know, also acknowledge like that this group that's going to go to these Olympics in 2022 at least has the potential to someday push that and try to rise to that level. And I thought that was, you know, I think that's what a lot of people in the U.S. want to see from this era of USA Hockey. And that's been the great hope that, you know, if the NHL did get back into the Olympics, like the USA has a team that, you know, nobody's saying they're Canada, mm-hmm. but I'm not saying they couldn't beat them in one elimination game either.
And one of those guys we talked about, I mean, I feel like anytime we talk about national team stuff, we have some digression on the Kachucks because it's inevitable at this point. They're, you know, in a lot of ways, I think it's a neck and neck battle with them and the Hughes to kind of be the, whatever, the first family of American hockey at this point. And Mike had some great bits about, you know, Keith Kachuk and what their experience like was together. They almost overlapped at BU, which would have been wild. But yeah, we do have Kachuk news. We got Brady Kachuk looking at an 8-year, $64 million offer from the Sens. we need to recalibrate how we think about contracts. Right. I mean, $8 million for Brady Kachuk on, you know, out of a quasi bridge deal is a big number. And it's not a knock on Brady either. Right. Like go get it if you can. But an $8 million AAV for Brady Kachuk potentially here is a wild thing to kind of process.
And it's out of the ELC, isn't it? Or did he didn't slide, did he?
No, he didn't. That's what I'm saying. Like just completely bypassing any sort of bridge deal and not buying up all that much. Just being like, all right, here we go. You've got X amount of years left in ARB, but we're still gonna hit 80 a year. That's wild.
Yeah, I mean, so here's my initial reaction to the Kachuk thing. It's obviously a high salary number for a guy who has yet to kind of break the 50-point threshold in the NHL. And I'm sure that's what a lot of people are going to point to here. And I think that's fair. Like you never want to get yourself into a spot where you're not getting kind of the production you need for that high dollar hit. But I also do think one of the huge advantages they have here is giving him this deal at such a young age, at 21, 22 years old. Like this thing's only going to age until he is 29, 30. He is still going to be very much in his prime there. No risk of a drop off. And he's going to give you so much else in terms of, I mean, I assume this guy's going to be the captain of the Ottawa Senators at some point, not very long here. And obviously he gives you so much in the way of physicality and in the way of his compete level on the ice. I would not have a problem with this number for Brady Kachuk.
No, that's something we talked about last week with Don Waddell, actually. I mean, do you want to be paying Jesperi Kotkaniemi $6 million a year for 1 year? No, not necessarily. But, you know, if that sets him up to get a big deal next year, you're so much better off signing those guys to that number now rather than waiting until they hit 29 or 30 or whatever it is and then giving them their $7-8.5 million deal, right? Like it's fascinating to me that like it. I think that's been a big part of this offseason is GMs being more open to getting guys on the come up and signing younger players to big number deals that allow them to A, get to 28 or 29 before their next contract, and B, sort of play out their prime, maybe not at some super duper value number, but also at something that still kind of makes sense for both sides.
Well, you look at his brother, right? Matthew signed a bridge. I think it was 3x7.
Yeah, they're gonna take a bath on it now.
Yeah, they're gonna blow past eight on Matthew's next deal. And so if you can lock Brady in at eight and it's gonna go for 8 years, you know, I guess it costs you a little more in years one through three of it than maybe you could have gotten on a bridge, but it probably will save you some money on the back end there, right?
I mean, the bummer here is that if Brady's in Ottawa long term, then we're not.
How do you get them together?
How do we get Brady and Matt together? Not just in Ottawa or Calgary or anywhere else. We need those dudes in an American city badly. We need them to play together, and it needs to be in the U.S. And it's tough to turn down $64 million, but I don't know. I think Brady should think about the good of the squad here and try to get south at some point, right?
You think Mike Sullivan just tries to bring him back with him in the car from the Olympics?
He's going to come out of that tournament in love with both of these guys.
Oh yeah.
If he isn't already, like, those guys check so many boxes for him. And I think he brought them up, you know, unprompted, right? Where he's talking about what maniacs Matt and Brady are out on the ice. I mean, those dudes are Mike Sullivan players. I know you're loath to pencil in anybody, even though we're doing these roster building exercises or whatever.
I'm not loath to it.
We're not. My God, I think we're gonna do like tri-weekly U.S. roster projections, right? But like, he came about as close to just being like, "Yeah, Brady Tkachuk's on the team is we are gonna get." He clearly loves him, and you know, that's kind of to be expected. The other bit of news to pop up, you know, as it relates to American teams, I think over the last couple of days is Mike Russo reporting, naturally, of course. The Kaprizov situation is not resolved. And we've been waiting for it for weeks and weeks and weeks and months and months and months. And you know, here we are September 14th, and there's no resolution, and Bill Guerin's telling Russo that things aren't going as planned.
Well, and this is such a tough one because you've seen now the saga play out in Artemi Panarin. You've seen the saga play out for, help me out here, with some other guys who have kind of gone short out of these international deals, and then they're not around as long.
Yeah,
as
right. And that's the way it works. You know, you're not going to get guys signed to the 7, 8, 9 year deal. That's just the way.
I tend to be. Here, like, I sympathize with the players a lot here because you don't have any choice of the organization you drafted into. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, how long do you kind of owe that to them? And that's obviously something that's been established in the CBA, and that's the player's right. But I also think I feel so much for the fans in Minnesota here because they waited so long for this guy. He was everything they hoped for, honestly, probably a little more than they even could have hoped for. And now there's already kind of this tension, and that doesn't mean it's not going to get resolved. I'm not someone who's writing this off as it can't have a happy ending for all parties here. But I've got family in Minnesota, and like, you know, like, one of them texted me when the first, you know, Russian team interest was coming out, and I feel for those guys, man.
Well, it's not just that they've waited long for Kaprizov, even though they did, like, that.
Yeah,
he was in the incubator for a while there, and then shows up as good as expected. But like, this is, my God, they've been waiting for a player like that since peak Marian Gaborik, right? Like you don't remember, you weren't around for him at his best. But I mean, we need elite talent on the Minnesota Wild. That makes our jobs easier. It makes stuff a lot more fun. We need, yeah, what do you think? How about this? Because people have asked me this in mailbags and stuff. Like, what do you think that deal should look like? Do you have like a, you know, sort of mind's eye, you know, vision of something that would look like that would be equitable for both sides? Because I feel like I kind of do.
Assuming neither side is going to get fully what they want, and for Minnesota, that being obviously like 7 or 8 years, mm-hmm. and for Kaprizov being a huge number on short years, like something five times eight.
Yes,
like
that seems
perfectly reasonable.
That seems like the magic number to me. Five times eight seems like the number that we're going to land on, and it's felt that way for a while, and yet here we are. You know, it's September 14th, and Bill Guerin's like, yeah, this hasn't gone the way I wanted it to.
Now, if there's an issue for Minnesota, how many of those years in that five are you even without the buyout hit from Parise and Suter at that point? Is it only, it's like one, right?
Yeah, because there's what, you stretch it out over, yeah, you stretch the buyout over double, yeah. I mean, that's looming large, right? Like, I wonder if Guerin, if he could go back and do it again, like, do you still buy out Ryan Suter? I don't know. Like maybe you leave one of those guys on the books and don't have that specter stretching over the body of a Kaprizov contract.
That was the weird one. I mean, from the minute it happened. Now
that was the weird one for Ryan Suter too. He was expecting that about as much as anybody else was. We knew so, Parise was going to go down.
Do you think Suter was for sure playing out that contract?
I think he seems like a guy who would certainly, the logic of that makes sense, right? Like there was that initial wave whenever it happened on Twitter where everybody was like, holy shit. Look at what they did. Look at how long these buyouts are, you know, whatever. But I think it's a reasonable price to pay to avoid any potential for recapture. That's insane. Like the fact that rule was on the books then and now is just wild to me. Like retroactively punishing those contracts is just one of the craziest things that the league's ever pulled off. And like Guerin was like rightfully terrified of it, clearly, because Suter is a better player than Parise at this point in his career, and B, you know, seems like a better bet to play out the string. So yeah, I don't know though, man. Like it complicates stuff. It was never going to be a great situation, but you know, again, here we are. We're about to open training camp, and there's still no resolution on the biggest moment of their offseason. It's something.
They're in a tough spot, and if they do get it resolved with Kaprizov, we know it's going to be a big number, no matter what the term is. And at that point, like you're leaning really heavy on some of your prospects hitting. And I really like Matt Boldy. I think he's going to be really good. Marco Rossi, like, you know, hopefully he's back to what he. Yeah. You know, looked like as a draft eligible.
Yeah, you're better equipped than almost anybody to talk about those guys. I mean, like those are the guys who, whenever we were talking about Jack Eichel to Minnesota, which feels like it was, you know, 5 years ago, those are the guys, the Boldies and the Rossies that we were talking about as the bones of a deal, as the main elements that would be headed back to Buffalo. So what do you think of those two specifically?
Well, you know, I didn't get to see Boldy a lot last year, but you know, I remember in his year at the program, he was very much in that conversation with the Cole Caulfields and you know, kind of beyond that Jack Hughes tier, you know, but like Boldy, Zegras, Turcotte, Caulfield, like, you know, I think most people by the end settled on Turcotte and Zegras kind of ahead of the other two, but like when you're watching those guys in that year, you know, those guys were all absolute studs for the NTDP, and Boldy's really done nothing to disprove right. that in his time since, like in terms of his production at BC, in terms of, yeah, he was a pretty successful player in year one in the American Hockey League. He's got a lot of what you're looking for, you know, at 6'2", you know, this is not a guy who you're going to worry about, like, oh, is he going to be able to hang in the NHL? And he was already a point more better than a point per game player last year in the American League and was really good at BC. So I don't know that Matt Boldy's in the NHL right away this year, but I don't think he's that far away. And, you know, as always, the question in Minnesota comes back to center, and that's where you really have to hope Marco Rossi can get back to what a lot of people thought he was going to be in his draft year. Obviously he hardly played last year, and so you never know, but I mean, if he can be an answer to them, then suddenly for them, I should say, then suddenly you start to get pretty interesting. You got Joel Eriksson-Ek up front. If Rossi can be a goal scoring center for you, a playmaking center for you, then I think you're in business. Mm-hmm. If not, then the search for a center continues. And that's a real big search to have when you're in compete mode.
And the Jack Eichel update is, there is no update. Nothing's going to happen. We're going to keep having the same conversation.
Do you think this is a Carlson EVA training camp deal, or do you think that they're actually going to go into the season without resolution?
I hope it happens. I feel like we may have just spoken to the next man to be Jack Eichel's head coach. Is that possible?
The Olympics.
the next game Jack Eichel plays will be for Mike Sullivan. It's one of those things, in our talk with Mike there, like you don't want to get into specifics on guys, on roster building or whatever, because that's going to make them clam up quicker than anything. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's a non-zero chance that the next time we see Jack Eichel on the ice, he'll be playing for our guest here, who again is Mike Sullivan, head coach of the U.S. Olympic team, and that's coming up next. It was a great interview, and I think it's worth your time.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
We are joined by the head coach of the U.S. Men's Olympic hockey team, Mike Sullivan. He's been on the job for all of, Mike, it's like 3 weeks now. So you're well into your time as head coach, and I'm sure doing a ton of work. What's the process been like? And I don't know, how's this last few weeks gone since the announcement?
It's been great. It's been real exciting. It's it's the honor of a lifetime, as I've said on more than one occasion. When I got the call to be asked to be the head coach of the team, and so anytime I've had an opportunity to represent the United States in international competition, it's been such an honor and such a thrill, whether it be as a player or as a coach. And I've had the privilege of doing both over the years, but to be the head coach of the Olympic team on a world stage like that, for me it's hard to articulate in words what it means to me. It's just such a great honor to share in that experience with everyone.
I mean, when did the work start on your end officially? Like after hearing the news? I mean, you have a staff now.
We've been at it for a little while here behind the scenes, and we put a coach and staff together that we all feel real comfortable with. These guys are all really smart guys. They're great hockey guys. They're passionate guys. They're guys that I think bring certain strengths to the table in different capacities. But the common denominator for me is these guys are just great people. They're smart guys, and they're willing to work. They're ready and eager to roll up their sleeves and go to work to try to help this team be successful. So I'm excited to work with the group that we put together. That's been in the works for a while now. We met as a coach and staff for about 4 days here in Pittsburgh, and we talked a lot of hockey and put a game plan together that we think is going to give us a chance to be successful. We talked about prioritizing how we're going to communicate, with the eventual team when it is picked and put together. And it's hard right now because we don't have a lot of logistical details. And so, right, we're talking a lot of if-then scenarios and just trying to prepare ourselves for whatever comes our way. But these guys are great guys. They're fun to work with. They're really smart hockey guys. I'm looking forward to going through the process with them. But we've been at it here for a little while. We spent a great 3 or 4 days together, and looking at a lot of video and talking a lot of hockey and putting a game plan together that hopefully will help this team be successful.
Yeah, well, I wanted to talk about those guys. Honestly, first off, they're three head coaches. You know, I know Todd's with you again now, but those are three guys with real legitimate head coaching experience in the NHL between David Quinn, John Hines, Todd Reirden. I wanted to talk about them more. Honestly, you said all three of those guys bring stuff to the table. What do you? David Quinn's a guy who we all know about your relationship with him, but what does he bring? Because I think, you know, he's a he's relatively new head coach. What kind of in the NHL? What kind of stuff does he bring? Does he bring to the plate?
So Quinny's a guy, as you know, him and I were college teammates. We go back a long way. We've got a great relationship. You know, what I like about Quinny is he has head coaching experience. He has international experience. He knows the challenges of putting together a team for a short tournament like this and what the potential challenges are and how to overcome them. So he brings a lot of experience from that standpoint. I think Quinny brings a certain personality to our coaching staff that I think will be really beneficial for our group. As you guys know, I'm not the most warm and fuzzy guy in the world. And I think Quinny's a guy that I think is going to bring a real human element to our coaching staff. You know, he's a personable guy. I think his personality will resonate with the players. And he's just a smart hockey guy. He's got a good command of the strategy and the tactics of the game. He knows some of the players that are in play that potentially are going to be on this roster. So I think he brings a lot to the table for this group.
Wait, so are we going to get Quinny good cop? Is that what's happening? Is that what's happening? Running David Quinn good cop?
Yeah, that would be my guess. I don't know that any of us are going to be a bad cop in a 2-week tournament. That's for sure. But he's certainly a guy that I think is a personable guy. I think he relates with players really well. I think, in other words, I don't think it's going to take Quinny a long time to build relationships with these guys and give these guys an opportunity to interact with our coaching staff. So I think that's an important aspect of our whole staff in general. And I think all these guys are very personable guys, but we're all different in our personalities, mm-hmm. right? And so I think Quinny brings a real human element to our staff that I think is going to help us.
Hey, Mike, just a quick one about Ryan Miller, fresh out of the NHL. I mean, what are you expecting out of a coach, Ryan Miller, and what does he kind of bring to the equation here?
Well, I think Ryan is a great addition to our staff. He's, you know, we talked about him extensively, and you know, he doesn't have a lot of coaching experience in a 2-week tournament. You know, how much real X's and O's coaching is going to take place, you know, as it relates to the goaltending position. I shouldn't say X's and O's. Maybe I should say technicalities. But obviously, Ryan is well schooled in that stuff as well. But I think he can bring a certain perspective to our whole team, not to mention just our goaltenders. You know, having gone through it himself as a player, he's just removed as a player. I think he's going to bring a perspective to our coaches' meetings. When you know, I can only speak on how I think, and I'm always asking myself the question. You know, I'm trying to put myself in the player's shoes all the time. What's the players think? How are they going to react? You know, how should we approach a certain day or a certain challenge? And so we're always trying to put ourselves in the player's shoes and the player's perspective. Although we've all played, it seems like it was a million years ago that some of us were on the in the other side and you know, in the dressing room as a player. And Ryan's a guy that was just there. And so he's going to bring that perspective to our coaching staff. I think he's going to bring such great wisdom and experience to the goaltenders because he lived it himself. And he can share those experiences. He can share what he went through and some of his challenges and what helped him have success. So I was really excited to add Ryan to our staff. He's a really good guy. I didn't know him very well. I got to meet him when we met as a staff, you know, a few weeks ago. But I'm really excited that he's part of our staff.
Yeah, how much of that was just about getting him in the fold? You're like, okay, Ryan Miller's available. Let's let's find something for him to do. Honestly, you just want him around.
Yeah, he's a real good person. He's had such an accomplished career. You know, he was a tremendous goalie himself, and you know, if I'm not mistaken, you know, I think Ryan reached out to John Van Beesbrouck in looking to help in any way, shape, or form. You know, he's a passionate guy, loves the game, wants to be around it, and it just kind of evolved from there. So it's we're fortunate to have a guy like that. You know, that is just removed from playing and that can bring that certain perspective and his experiences to the table.
Yeah, he said that to us, honestly, like right after, you know, the retirement announcement. Like he was like, yeah, I'm going to try to get into something. Like he was definitely interested straight off the bat. So I wasn't surprised at him be a part of the group there. I mean, you talked about him being so close to the game still and whatever. He's 6 months removed from being on a roster. I mean, you have experience with that yourself. You transitioned quickly from being a player to the coaching end of things, and not for nothing with a really good, with like a, you know, a great generation of American players. So what was that experience like for you as a young coach who, you know, kind of like Ryan's doing right now, right? Where he went from, he's going from guys that he played against a few months ago to now kind of leading them on that end. What was that experience like for you? And I mean, because you're, you know, you said it was a while ago, but it wasn't that long.
Yeah, it was a great experience. You know, I was, as you mentioned, I was a young coach at the time. I was learning on the job, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting because, you know, I think there's an assumption that just because a player played the game, that it's just a natural evolution to become a coach. And although I think it certainly is a huge benefit to have played the game, you know, the coaching skill set or the coaching craft is a whole different ball game. And it takes a lot of work to be good at it. And so there are so many good coaches in the game. Some of them are former players, some of them aren't. They're just they're great students of the game, and they have an ability to communicate thoughts and concepts, and they have great analytical minds, and they're good leaders. They can motivate and inspire people, and so I was learning the coaching craft at that particular time, and then to have the opportunity to be an assistant coach at the Olympics in Torino, and now I'm behind the bench with players that I looked up to in my generation that were way better than I ever was as a player, you know, and I handled the defense. Labby was running the forwards at the time, and I'm coaching guys like Chris Chelios and Darian Hatcher and these guys that I looked up to as, you know, these are the best players of my generation. And I was so impressed with their professionalism. Yeah. You know, because I wasn't sure how they were going to react to a young coach like myself. Right. But I walked away from that experience with so much respect, even more respect than I had for those guys, because I didn't really know them personally until I went over there and spent a few weeks with them at the Olympics in Torino. But I walked away from that experience with so much respect for those guys and just their professionalism and their competitiveness and their you know, their drive to be the best and want to win. And Chelios was a guy for me that I really didn't know at all. And I was just blown away by his competitiveness and his professionalism throughout that experience. He was like an extension of our coaching staff when I was there. And so that's how that experience went for me. It was an unbelievable experience. I was a young coach at the time. You know, this experience, I anticipate to be a whole lot different because now I've got, you know, I don't know how many years now of coaching experience under my belt and I'm surrounded with some really good coaches as well. So, but I can't say enough about those guys and the experience that I went through with them.
Are you ready for the Chelly on ESPN experience? You ready for him to do TV? It sounds like he's gonna be doing a lot.
Yeah, I think he'll be great. You know, I don't think he's going to mince words. You know, I think that's and I think that's going to resonate with people, which always makes for entertainment, right?
So Keith Tkachuk is one of the guys who was on that 06 Olympic team that you coached, and obviously you teammates with him back in Phoenix. What do you think will be a stranger experience, coaching Keith, who you played with, or coaching his sons potentially at these Olympics?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, Walt and I go back a long way. You know, we spent a bunch of years together in Phoenix, and he was such a great player himself. His kids are terrific players as well. You know, they're big personalities. You know, they, like my father always said, they don't grow up like the neighbors. You know, I think his kids are a chip off the old block. You know, they're big personalities, and as was Walt as well. They certainly bring a certain swagger to the table. They make everybody on the bench about 6 inches taller. That's for sure.
You got to deal with them again this year. You got to avoid them because the schedule last year. You got to deal with Matt and Brady out there running around, huh?
I get the odd phone call from Walt when I'm traveling. I got a call from in Calgary a few years ago. We were playing there and he was scouting at the time, you know, and he called me after the game. It was like midnight. I was in my hotel room breaking the game film down, you know, and he wanted to meet me and have a beer and catch up and talk. But he's just a terrific family. You know, they're great people. They're just a great hockey family. They're passionate. And so it will be interesting, that's for sure. You know, we have so many great players. You know, one of the things that's really excited our coaching staff is we started to look at the player pool and the talent pool that's available to make this team. And it's deep. It's really deep. I think it speaks volumes for how far hockey has come in the United States. And once again, I tip my hat. I think it starts at the grassroots level and all the volunteers across the country and the environment that these people are trying to create for these kids to participate and grow up in the sport. And, you know, when you look at some of the kids that have come out of that and that's the makeup of this player pool. And some of them are from, you know, the non-traditional markets. You know, they're not necessarily the hockey hotbeds like Massachusetts and Minnesota that I guess was my generation. You know, they're coming from all across the country now. And I think the NHL and the expansion has a lot to do with that and just the impact. But the volunteers that I think that put their time in all the time for USA Hockey to help these kids grow and develop along the way. We're fortunate enough and privileged to get the finished product at the end of it. And, But I think it's important that we mention these guys and the importance of that aspect of it.
You brought it up. Are you doing back a napkin lineup work here? Like can we go through who's the third center on this team? Let's break some news.
Well, you guys, I knew you guys would go there.
It wasn't us. You brought it up. We were ready to just let it slide.
I brought up the how impressive the group is and how deep it is and the challenges.
There's some very tough decisions. Yes.
Yes. That's what I will tell you is that there's going to be some really difficult decisions. And I think that's, you know, from our standpoint, that's a good thing that we have the talent pool is that deep. And there are a lot of players to choose from. There are a lot of really good American players that have built a body of work in the NHL and are deserving to be in the conversation. And we have so much respect for all of them. Obviously, not all of them are going to make the team, but we're excited about the group that we have and we're looking forward to those conversations.
Well, some of the guys, I mean, there's no way around it. Some of the guys in that discussion are on your roster. So how's that something? That's something you're going to have to balance, right? The decisions on the Jake Gensels and the Brian Rusts and the Brian Dumoulins of the world.
Yeah, you know, I've got a good relationship with those guys, and for me, it'll be I'll be transparent with them, like I always am, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, these guys are real good players, and they've been great players for us here in Pittsburgh. They're Stanley Cup champions. They know how to win. And so, you know, you can never have enough of those types on your team. Right. And so they're three players that have really built an impressive body of work in their time here in Pittsburgh. And, but you know, I'm excited for them that that they're in the conversation. And but I will communicate with those guys and have an honest conversation with them, and you know, as it goes along the way. But you know, we're excited about those players. They're certainly really good players for us here in Pittsburgh.
I think one of the reasons people in the U.S. are so excited for this tournament is because of what the overall collection of talent is going to look like you were just talking about. I mean, when you start looking at how everything could set up, even if we're not going to say exactly how it'll set up today, is there a group for you that stands out as the bar, as the best collection of U.S. talent ever? And what is the potential of this group?
Yeah, I think when you look back at the Chelioses, you know, the Kachuks, the Darian Hatcher, Brian Leach, Doug Waite, Mike Modano, Billy Guerin, you know, that generation, Brett Hull was part of that. I'm trying to think, I don't want to leave anybody out because I don't want to be disrespectful to those guys. Right.
But
in my mind was so good. And those guys, they carried the torch for a long time. And they were such an accomplished group of players, so driven, so competitive, and for me, they're the standard bearers. I think they just represented our nation, in so many different tournaments, and were just so ultra competitive. And so for me, they're the standard bearers. I think this group has the potential to live up to that. You know, there's a lot of young, exciting players here that are evolving, and I think there's a lot of potential there. So I'm excited about the conversations that we're going to have here moving forward, and I'm excited about potentially what this team might look like.
What's kind of the biggest strength as you look at it right now? Like, is there an area of the team that you're saying this can be kind of our, what we lean on here when things get tough, whether it's the forwards or some of those young D and anything in net, obviously?
Well, that's a good question. You know, you guys, I'm sure, have had that conversation as well. I'm not sure what the biggest strength is. You know, I think we've got some dynamic forwards. I think the goaltending position is really strong and deep. You know, look at the group of defensemen that's there. You know, they're probably 14 deep of, you know, 12 deep. You know, if you start to go through the group of defensemen that potentially could make this team, could be even more. There's a lot of real good players at all the positions, and so that's going to be our challenge, right? It's going to be a lot of fun, I think, trying to put the best possible team together, and I say that because I think that's going to be the biggest challenge, is to figure out how to become a team in short order. And because I'm fairly confident that there's a few countries that are going to have a lot of talent on their roster, and,
yeah,
and talent doesn't win gold medals, right? Great team.
So I think something that fascinates me about your job is getting guys to play roles that deviate from their typical NHL roles. You know, you're going to be maybe asking a top six winger to drop down and kill penalties or change, you know, kind of change the role that he's gotten accustomed to. Is that something you're ready for? Cause I know that's such a big thing for you on a day-to-day basis, right? Is having guys do their job and fulfill the kind of duties that you expect from them. But that's easier over the course of an 82 game schedule, rather than having, you know, a star player drop in and do something that he's maybe a little bit less accustomed to doing. Like, is that part of the thought process?
Sure it is. You know, we had that conversation as a coaching staff when we met as a group. And, I think it's one of the most important jobs as a head coach, you know, regardless of what team you're coaching, is to steer the identity of the group, shape the identity of the group. In other words, what's our competitive advantage? Mm-hmm. What are we good at? How do we play to our strengths? Mm-hmm. And then implement a game plan that allows us to do that. And then cast players in certain roles that help them understand what the expectation is, so that they know what they can hang their hat on. This is my contribution to helping this team win. And that's not to say we're going to pigeonhole guys in certain spots and they can't grow into something bigger or better, right? But it is important that players understand why they're on the roster and what their strength is, what they're bringing to the table, what their contribution is to helping the team win. And we talk about that in Pittsburgh all the time. I have those conversations with our players, you know, daily. And sometimes players need to be reminded of those, you know, of those core competencies and why they're on the roster. And so I really think that's one of my most important jobs as a head coach. And so and then it's there's a player's responsibility to embrace that, right? They need to embrace that challenge. They need to be accepting of roles, and they need to embrace that role. They need to get excited about it. You know, not everybody's going to play on the power play. And when you look at this group of players that will inevitably be assembled to make up you know the Olympic team, there's a fair amount of them. I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest that they're playing on their power plays in their respective NHL teams, right? But not everybody's going to play on the power play in the Olympics. And they need to be okay with that. I think that's going to be a huge part of becoming the team that we need to become. And so that's a conversation that we'll have, I think, fairly often with the group.
Fairly often and fairly early, I would imagine, right? That's
for sure.
That's got to be a day one thing where you set the expectations and kind of go from there.
For sure. I think it's one of my most important jobs.
Mike, that was great. If there's Max, I don't know if there's anything you want to finish up on, but yeah.
No, that's all good for me. That's great. I really appreciate it, Mike.
Sure. My pleasure, guys.
Ah, Maxie, that was great stuff from Mike Sullivan. I love hearing Tkachuk stories. I feel like we could have just gotten them rolling and gotten, you know, a half hour more of Chris Chelios and Keith Tkachuk stories.
I think the move is we now have a double guest thing we need to book with Mike and Keith Tkachuk for a future episode. Maybe that's in August next year when they're a little less busy, and we just have maybe this is an 11 p.m. deal and we just get it rolling and see what happens.
Yeah, that was great stuff as expected from Mike Sullivan.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
All right, we're back. Big news on Monday was that Steve McCarthy has replaced Sylvain Lefebvre as an assistant on the Columbus Blue Jackets. Lefebvre is out because he elected not to receive the COVID-19 vaccine. So, Maxie, we're seeing repercussions already for organizations, for players, for coaches that aren't in on the protocol. And it was still, I kind of mentioned this whenever we talked to Mike a couple minutes ago. Don Waddell was really great last week. Obviously, he's the president of hockey ops with the Hurricanes, runs a lot of their business stuff, and he volunteered just straight away, like, yeah, we expect to be at 100% on vaccination among the teams and also among the players. And also specifically, he saw a major uptick after the NHL COVID-19 protocol dropped, right? Where we see these, you know, serious deserving penalties for guys who aren't vaccinated and test positive and whatever. The upshot of it is, you know, they're making life as complicated as possible for people who aren't vaccinated, which is fine. That's the way it should be from, you know, a societal standpoint on one hand, and also from a team building, you know, NHL franchise standpoint too. You can't have that risk out there. And I think Sylvain Lefebvre, you know, he's the first, but I don't think he's going to be the last. Like we're about to see another split kind of happen as camps open up, and we're about to see, you know, teams really put their money where their mouth is when it comes to, you know, taking this stuff as seriously as possible, and also eliminating any possibility for outbreaks and or suspensions and or anything else. So I thought that was wild to see on Monday.
It was, and stories like that are going to get the headline. Yeah. It's going to be the guy who is not in the 100%, right? Because that's the news story here. But I also think kind of the subhead here is that there's not going to be nearly as many headlines or nearly as many numbers of that as there are at the rest of society. I think it really speaks to NHL players and coaches. And this point was made a lot with the NFL as their season got up and running. Like it's a great way to be a good teammate, to have this stuff and get it taken care of. And I think that kind of speaks the language of pro athletes, and
totally.
And it certainly applies to the rest of society too. Like we are in a lot of ways, we don't have affiliations to each other quite so formally,
all right,
but we are very much all teammates there. Right.
I mean, think about the Hurricanes roster. Like it doesn't take a rocket scientist to go down the list and you're like, oh, okay, they're at 100%, or they're going to be there very soon. That says a lot, you know, with how to how seriously teams are taking this. Between that and the fact that we just saw a coach get dumped on the eve of training camp, like this A is no joke, and B, teams aren't treating it as a joke. So honestly, it's nice to see.
Yeah, good on them. For me, I, you know, one of the things that jumps out to me this week is Ryan Kesler and that story on NHL.com. Kesler basically says he understands and is aware that his NHL career is over. There's a quote in there where he says, "My body age is like 80, which is, you know, it's a reminder of the pounding that these guys take and the grind that it takes. It is a game. It is probably one of the most fun jobs I can conceive of, but they pay a physical price to do it. And so Kesler is going to be a volunteer coach at the NTDP. And I think that's a great move for him. He's obviously from Livonia, from not quite my neck of the woods, but only about 20 minutes.
Close enough.
Yeah. 20 minutes west of me. So
Pete Kesler, he was something else. The injury started to stack for him so early too, right? Like he had major hip stuff. I think nobody in Vancouver is ever going to forget how good those teams were at the start of the 2010s, right? Like that's always going to be a discussion point. But I think if you're, you know, a US-based fan maybe, and someone who isn't in the NHL media, you know, ecosystem, those are some unbelievable teams that are, you know, they've aged out. We've seen those guys over the last few years, whether it's Luongo, whether it's Kesler, whether it's Bieksa, whether it's, you know, Alex Edler or Alex Burrows, like the guys who are the bones of those teams, they're on their way out, right? And that was an unbelievable group, you know, of talent that, you know, just whatever. 2011 was the peak against the Bruins. It didn't work out, but man, they were a blast to watch, and he was specifically, so yeah. Happy trails to him. You're gonna see him around, right? Like he'll be
kicking. Oh yeah, he'll be kicking, in Plymouth.
Kicking around various spots in Plymouth. Yeah.
Yep, and obviously working with a lot of the players who are going to be pretty prominent in these next two drafts. I would imagine, you know, the talent the NTDP right now is pretty amazing, as it often is. But you know, I don't. It's obviously there's probably never going to be another year quite like 2019 mm-hmm. again. But there's some really, really interesting kids at the NTDP this year. If you're in a position to watch them, I would recommend that.
What's up for you this week, man? Like, we're back in the swing of things. This is my first day back from vacation. I'm operating at like 75% capacity, but you have a full week, right? Is Traverse City? When is it?
Yeah, Thursday. So I go up there Thursday, and that's long weekend tournament. So I'll go up Wednesday night. Actually, is when I'll get there, and then back Monday, and then back up to Traverse City again on Wednesday night to get ready for actual Red Wings training camp. So. Yeah, the grind is very much about to hit in full gear out here.
Wait, so do we have a remote taping location for the Friday episode with you and Corey Promen?
So Corey's going to be there.
Oh,
so
that's
that will
right.
be I don't know if I was supposed to say announce ahead of time that we were going to be actually like on site together.
There you go,
that
buddy.
One, but we will.
We're breaking news. You guys can sit at some weird table in a side room and talk about this stuff in person.
I'm fired up for it. It'll be really fun, and obviously I will watch hockey with Corey any chance I get, because then it's like I actually like retain about four times as much as I do when I watch it by myself. So.
He makes everybody a lot smarter. As much as it pains me to say, it's a good time to subscribe. It's a good time to subscribe to The Athletic. It's a good time to subscribe to the show. Ramping up into regular season mode very, very quickly here at the Athletic Hockey Show. Always got Mendez and Down Goes Brown on Thursdays. We've got Max and Corey on Friday. We, of course, have Ian and Haley on Mondays. So we're ramping up on the pod, we're ramping up on the site. There's no better time than now. We're glad to have you all here with us. We appreciate you listening to the Athletic Hockey Show. You can follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a nice rating and review. Everybody always appreciates that. Me and Craig specifically, we're always in the comments on the show, taking stuff way too seriously to heart. We got our list of banned phrases. I think we need to update that before the start of the season. All that fun stuff. You can subscribe to the Athletic Audio Plus on Apple Podcasts specifically. That gets you some bonus content from our whole network. It's not just hockey. It's for the NFL show and for college football. It's a great time. Great time to be a sports fan. Great time to be a hockey fan. It's a great time to subscribe to all our stuff here at the Athletic Audio. You can start with a 30-day free trial, and that's for Audio Plus and Apple Podcasts. And it's just 99 cents a month after that. Also, if you're not a subscriber to the site, annual subscriptions are 50% off still. I don't know how long that's going to last, but it's still rolling. You can get that offer when you visit theathletic.com/hockeyshow. Max, my boy, this was wonderful. Thank you for doing it.
This was great. Thanks for having me. It's good to see you. Good to see you, the state of the hair right now. The state of the hair is electric.
God, dude. I had to get a cut. It was well down past my shoulders. It was repulsive. Important people in my life were telling me to get it together. Craig was certainly very upset by it. Also, for the record, Custin supposedly will be back next week, but I wouldn't hold my breath. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week.